and it looks like my...
This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. I hope everybody is coming down from their sugar high. If you got the candy yesterday on Halloween, hopefully people got candy. I said... I'm right with you and we also turning the clocks back yesterday. It gets dark early now, so it is even more depressing with the situation. I mean, during the summer we were able to get up to the track a little bit, and that kind of got people out of the frame of mind of the current pandemic situation. But as we move into the colder temperatures, things are cranking back up. But as I said on yesterday's show, hopefully racing's done a good job of kind of continuing during this period, hopefully bringing you some fun and entertainment. But I also mentioned yesterday, hopefully all the kids in some fashion got out and were able to enjoy Halloween. I know they had some drive-through types of things in the area and whatnot. People, I talked to my brother-in-law a couple of days ago, and his sister down in Florida someplace had a tube out her door, and so she was sliding candy out to kids who would swing by. So again, hopefully everybody had, in some fashion, a happy Halloween. It was fun watching the simulcast signal yesterday from Churchill Downs, Ed DeRosa and Joe Christofek in costume. So that always fun and funny. And then watching some of the simulcast signals from some of the other tracks too. Mac Dinnerman from Golden Gate that was wearing a costume I saw later in the day as well. So again, we have now turned the page. Halloween in the rearview mirror. That means we are launching with November. That also means it's going to be a wrap-up today of... the Belmont meet, which means a mandatory pay in the Empire Six, and we will play into that a little bit this morning on the show. I'm going to hit on some of the stakes recaps as we normally do. Wasn't a big stakes day yesterday. I mean, we're the lull before the storm with the Breeders' Cup coming up on Friday and Saturday. So there were some stakes at Belmont. But I also wanted to go back. There was a nice rich stake Monday at Finger Lakes. There was a couple of stakes last Sunday for two-year-olds at Churchill that we had talked about Sunday morning, but obviously haven't recapped here on the show. And there was also a couple of prominent, well-bred siblings, offspring of well-known horses, a couple of runners last Sunday that won as well. So I thought we'd take a look at those also in our little recap segment. So all of that is coming up. Don't forget today at the Clubhouse Racebook, you can come down, watch some football action, and enjoy some racing action as well, as always on a Sunday, NFL Sunday, here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. And also wanted to remind you that coming up Thursday night, the Breeders' Cup Seminar, which normally we have at the Clubhouse Racebook, our annual seminar, but with the situation this year a little bit different, we'll go online. You can watch us streaming live on YouTube Thursday night at 7 o'clock. We'll replay the seminar the next couple of mornings as well. Those will be early mornings, although. So, and I will say, if you watch live, you can also interact. There'll be the ability to do a little Q&A via the comment section on YouTube. But again, that's Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Mike Callahan and I here in the studio, Brian Edo via Zoom, and we will go over all of the Breeders' Cup action next Thursday, 7 o'clock. Speaking of Brian Edo and speaking of the mandatory pay in the Empire, coming up in the next segment, I thought we'd get Brian in and maybe just go over some of the Empire Six races, toss some ideas out there if you're thinking about putting in a ticket today and chasing that mandatory. So stay tuned for that. But we'll start out with some replay action. As I say, it was not a stellar day across the country stakes-wise. Del Mar kicked off their fall meet. Speaking of Del Mar, some interesting news came out yesterday, I think, was when the news came out. Mike Smith will not be riding in the Breeders' Cup. With the whole situation this year and jockeys and bubbles, and Mike Smith has had some of his more prominent horses retire, and he felt like he didn't have any mounts, and so he'll stick around Del Mar. You know, one of the more prominent all-time Breeders' Cup jockeys is going to wind up on the sidelines this year. As Mike Smith announced, he'll stick around in California next weekend. So that's unfortunate. It's always fun to see those guys who have the big resume and can they add to it year in and year out. Mike Smith missing this year's Breeders' Cup of his own accord. But as he said, didn't have any live mounts that were going to propel him to make the trip. All right, again, let's jump in some of the Belmont Stakes action from yesterday. The Bold Ruler, grade three event for sprinters going seven. Fell apart a little bit. I mean, it wasn't a super strong addition to begin with, and then it fell apart with a couple of scratches. It was only six horses entered, so we wound up with a field of four. I liked Share the Ride. Right under Share the Ride, I had Majestic Dunhill. Originally, I had Fat Man on top. That horse scratched, so I moved up my two scratches. And it wound up to be kind of a little ding-dong duel between Share the Ride, who was the slight favorite, over Majestic Dunhill, the second favorite. Majestic Dunhill is going to be the five. Share the Ride is going to be the number two. And I thought I was going to hold on with my number two horse here. It looked like he had the heart, but then Majestic Dunhill just keeps grinding, and gets him there in front of the wire to come under chart margin of a head. Joel Rosario and George Weaver getting it done for Randy Hill. Coming off a second-place finish in an optional claimer last time. Had run third two starts back in that four-go that was a little bit different because of the whole weather situation that day and the race where win looked so good. But finishing second in the four-go that day was Complexity. Now, he went on to run very well in his next start and is headed to the Breeders' Cup, as we talked about yesterday with Chad Brown, if you tuned into the show. So I suppose Complexity flattered the third-place finish. I say third. It wasn't third. He was ninth. But he was in that, as I say, the wacky, sloppy track with horses that win, that was a phenomenal effort. Complexity, though, even in a wacky race, validated the race a little bit. So, you know, he on the sloppy track didn't show up that well, but he came back, did Majestic Dunhill, and ran well in the optional claimer in the follow-up. So validated that performance yesterday with the win. As I say, nice gutsy stretch drive where it was a kind of a big battle, but Majestic Dunhill gets it done in, again, kind of a weak edition of the Bold Ruler. Just prior to that, it was the Awad for the two-year-olds on the turf. I looked at Step Dancer. I had a couple of notes next to Step Dancer, the Barkley Tag Runner. Just couldn't pull the trigger there. But I will say, the horse that runs second at 15-1, Like a Salt Shaker, I had in my mix and talked a little bit about during OTB Live yesterday. It's an Adam Rice horse who had run three times at Presque Isle Downs, and I thought it run well. I thought Like a Salt Shaker, the number three, would be interesting at a price. My top pick was Wooten Asset, the number 12, who winds up running fourth. The favorite was Space Launch. I had that one right underneath, the number seven, making the second start of the career for Christophe Clement. But again, it's Step Dancer getting it done Dylan Davis, you can see him coming up the rail here. Nice, crafty ride from Dylan. Gets it done in the third career start. Broke the maiden against State Breds up at Saratoga pretty nicely. Then followed up with a third in the Pilgrim. And now in the third career start, gets this nice win. But again, that three horse that I liked at the price, the Adam Rice horse coming in from Presque Isle, that was a nice looking second place finish. I mean, the chart margin, less than a length, three quarters of a length. So, like a salt shaker, a nice little performance as well. Second stakes win for that one. As I say, he had been out at Presque Isle earlier in the career where Adam Rice is based, at least for that portion of the year where they're running. And had won a stakes race last time, albeit on the synthetic at Presque Isle. But he transferred over nicely to the turf yesterday. But Step Dancer gets it done. And it was a nice little exacta, too. I didn't have Step Dancer in my mix. Step Dancer, very playable. In a race that I mentioned yesterday when I handicapped it for the show, I said that was a wide-open race. So you could have easily played around a little bit and wound up the exacta a couple hundred bucks, $208 for, again, a exacta that, you know, you had to search around and play a little bit, but I think it was a couple of horses that you didn't look at the past performances necessarily afterwards and think, wow, how was I going to come up with those two? They both had shown some talent already previously and did it again yesterday. And again, a nice price for the exacta. The Zagora also yesterday on the card at Belmont. Fillies and mares, three-year-olds and up, going a mile and a half on the turf. And this one is going to be the number eight Step Dancer, the number six Luck Money getting it done for Arnaud Delacour. I mentioned the number eight because that was the horse I had on top. The other Arnaud Delacour, I picked the wrong Arnaud Delacour. I used Cambaliza, the eight horse, who just did nothing. But the other Arnaud Delacour, Luck Money, gets it done. A couple starts back, had run in the Dueling Ground Oaks down at Kentucky Downs, ran well, and then went over to Keeneland and won an allowance event. And so comes back here nicely and gets it done by a neck over Hungry Kitten, the nine. And the number two runs third as the favorite for Christophe Clement. That was a horse, the Clement runner was a horse coming over from Europe. I was a little bit skeptical of that one. Not that the horse ran badly. I'm not saying my skepticism was well placed because it was only a couple necks back in third. But I said yesterday, and I've said it a few times over the past couple of years, not quite as tied into the European shippers as maybe, you know, 5 or 10 years ago where it seemed like they really had more of an edge when they came over here. It's not necessarily the case anymore. But again, that one ran nicely for Christophe Clement in the first start in the United States. Just couldn't do any better than third. The number nine, the second place finisher, that was a Shug McGahey horse, Hungry Kitten, who was coming off a win up at Saratoga last time. That horse was playable. So again, there was, and Luck Money coming off of the third in the Dueling Ground Oaks and the win in the allowance at Keeneland. Another couple of horses that at 7-1 and 4-1, you got an exact of $112-ish with a couple of horses that were playable. So both of those turf stakes had fields that had horses in that had shown some talent and were going off at a little bit of value. And if you jumped in and collected, you walked away with maybe a little bit of a – those are the kind of races you like. You're looking at a horse and seeing, well, comes out of a win and 7-1. All right. You have to then look at the rest of the field and decide if you like somebody better. In both cases, I did, but I could certainly see people jumping on board and taking advantage of a couple of nice shots in both of those turf stakes yesterday. As I say, those are the kind you like, competitive fields, fields with some talent and offering some value as well. As I said, a little bit light stakes-wise yesterday, but I did want to go back and show some of the action from last week, and we'll go kind of chronologically. We'll first go back to last Monday up at the Finger Lakes as they were winding down their season. They ran the $218,000 New York Breeders Futurity for two-year-olds, going six furlongs. The favorite was Thin White Duke. That's the horse that's owned by Steve Crist, formerly of the Daily Racing Form. And a horse that for Steve Crist and company, also partly owned by trainer Phil Gleaves, has turned out to be a pretty nice runner for them. Six starts coming into Monday's race. Couple of wins, couple seconds, couple thirds, $192,000 in the bank. Had won the Funny Side at Saratoga, had won the Aspirant at Finger Lakes. Thin White Duke is going to be the number one horse here. Number five, Armion Mike. Horatio DePaz had sent this one up to Finger Lakes as still a maiden. It had run a close second behind Thin White Duke in that race. But Blue Gator, the number six horse, is going to take to the track surface here and get it done. Blue Gator, a Mike Maker trainee, had won the career debut down at Belmont towards the end of September. And again, it was a sloppy sealed track, and it seemed like Blue Gator just appreciated that. Our man Mike, again, the Horatio DePaz horse that was still the maiden but had finished second to Thin White Duke in the Aspirant, winds up running second in here, and Thin White Duke winds up third as the favorite in the race. Blue Gator was the second choice at 9-5, getting it done, but just seemed to appreciate maybe the off-going and got it done. Not a bad performance, you know. Not a bad overall resume for Thin White Duke. As the favorite, the third place finish, and it was a fairly well beaten third place finish, about seven lengths back. Wasn't a great performance, but still adds a little dough to the resume, and just continues to make you look at it and think they wound up with a nice little New York bred here. It's going to be fun to see what Thin White Duke does going forward as a three-year-old. Just with those connections, Phil Gleaves and. Maybe remember Wise Times winning the Travers and Steve Crist being involved. And so, as I say, it'd be fun to see what they do going forward with that one. All right, let's move a little bit earlier. They had a couple of two-year-old stakes at Churchill on their opening day last Sunday and for the boys and the girls. And those two stakes, obviously, will play out. I continue to say the fall meet, both of the fall meets down at Churchill, the two-year-old races, whether they're allowance races or stakes races, I think produce nice runners that you have to keep your eyes on. So last weekend, the boys' version was the Street Sense, and the winner here is going to be King Fury. And this is also notable because it's the Kenny McPeak horse who, a week later, he drops him into the Breeders' Cup. He put him in the pre-entries. We'll see if they wind up going, but I think if he put him in the pre-entries, he's saying, I'm going to strike while the iron's hot. It is number four here, King Fury getting it done over number seven, Superstock. Superstock was an Asmussen runner who went off as the 4-5 favorite. King Fury was the second choice at 5-2, but looked pretty good there. King Fury won the debut effort at Churchill early in September, then tried the Breeders' Futurity and finished behind Essential Quality. He's a nice horse. Talking to Ken McPeak, I had talked to him, I think, right after the Breeders' Futurity, and he thought the horse was better than that performance and validated it last week in the Street Sense. And as they say, he'll now be interesting to watch going to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile on a quick turnaround. But again, strike while the iron's hot. And you can't argue with the strategies that Ken McPeak has used this year, particularly when you look at Swiss Skydiver and her schedule. On the girls' side of things, last Sunday at Churchill Downs, it was the Rags to Riches. This one, I liked the winner in here. The previous one, I had him switched up. But this one, I had Coach on top. Coach is going to be the number eight horse for Brad Cox. Coach had a couple of starts over at Indiana Grand, and that was probably the question mark. Two starts, two wins at Indiana Grand, a maiden special, an allowance non-winners of two lifetime. So you could question, what was he beating? What was she beating over at Indiana Grand? I thought they were two pretty good performances. I kind of also like the stretch out in the third start, and she looks very good here. She wins by a chart margin 2.5 over Lady Traveler. Olivia of the Desert runs third. Olivia of the Desert, a Ken McPeak horse. And Lady Traveler from our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds and Dale Romans. Good second for them in only the third career start. So they may have a nice little three-year-old filly next year as well. But Coach looked very good. Third start, third win for Brad Cox. And that'll be one to watch going forward, as noted. Wanted to just, as I say, take a look at a couple other races from last weekend, well, last Sunday. There were maiden races, but maiden races that, as I said earlier, siblings or offspring of notable horses. So there's some breeding here that may bode well for these horses going forward. And at Churchill Downs, a little earlier on that Sunday, it was an all 2-year-old card. Clairiere will be the number 5 horse here. Maiden special for 2-year-old fillies going 1 1/16. Always tough to start your career going 2 turns like that. But Steve Asmussen debuts this daughter of Curlin from Cavorting. Clairiere, the number 5 horse, way out of it early. Look at her come late. And she's getting up to catch the number 9 super quick in the Mary Lou Whitney stable colors. That's notable as well. But again, coming from far out of it, Clairiere gets up. Chart margin winds up to be 1/2 length. And just a really nice performance. Again, you debut at 2 turns. On the far turn, this horse was way back and just had that sustained run down the stretch. But as I say, by Curlin out of Cavorting. And if you remember Cavorting, multiple graded winner, multiple grade 1 winner, multiple grade 1 winner right up here at Saratoga. 13 career starts, 8 wins, won over $2 million, won the grade 1 personal ensign up at Saratoga, won the grade 1 test up at Saratoga. So it was fun to see. You know, a lot of times these superstar race fillies and mares, when they go on to be moms, they don't quite reproduce themselves, but it looks like Cavorting has a good one in Clairiere. We'll have to keep our eyes on that one going forward. And finally, I wanted to go back last Sunday to Gulfstream Park West and watch Gladys, because Gladys is a full sibling to Rachel Alexandra. And she's had some siblings that have been okay. They haven't lived up to her yet. I don't know whether Gladys will, but Gladys is the number 5 horse here. This is the second career start. She didn't show anything in her debut over at Gulfstream. This was last week at Gulfstream Park West. But she gets it done on a sloppy track. Chart margin is 3 lengths, so does it pretty easily. But it was interesting. In the career debut, it's a full sibling to Rachel Alexandra. In her debut, she went off at 4-1, and again, had some trouble, but just was never in that race. And because of that, the other day, full sibling to Rachel Alexandra goes off at 11-1. So you wound up in the second career start with a nice $25 and change. But it'll be fun to see what she does going forward as well. As I said, that one and Clairiere, a couple of 2-year-olds that either siblings or from prominent race mayors, runners that are worth taking a look at and prove to be good looking in there. Won the debut and won only the second start, and worth, as I say, watching looking going forward. All right, that gives you some of the recap from the last, actually the last week, going back to last Sunday and the two stakes races and the two maiden races as well. So just some races worth taking a look at over the past 7 days. Now we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll take a look at some races worth taking a look at today, because again, it is the Empire 6 mandatory payout at Belmont Park. So we'll have Brian Addo join us in just a couple of minutes, and we'll kind of go through the sequence and just toss out maybe some ideas and some horses to look at. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Betway's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Stone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Papa. These two are travels head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
You saw there the early opening times for the branches and the racebook and whatnot coming up on Breeders' Cup. And again, a reminder, next Thursday we will have the Breeders' Cup seminar on YouTube streaming. Mike Callahan and I in the studio. Brian Edo joining us live via Zoom, which he is doing again this morning. Brian, good morning.
I'm like a bad cold, Seth. You can't get rid of me there. And back home. And good morning. Good morning to you. A fun day. You and I were just talking off the air. Fun day here at Belmont Park with a beast of an Empire Six. It'll be interesting. I think it's somewhere in the 400,000 range going in today. So I don't know, Seth. Maybe 3 million might be in play. 2 million, I would think, for sure, as people try to, we joked about it yesterday, but try to get a little padding in that bankroll for next week, you know?
419 in the pool currently. So, yeah, that will juice up significantly. You and I were also talking, and potential maybe for some weather, so folks should kind of keep that in mind as well as they get ready to handicap this afternoon's card. Keep a closer look and see how things shake out. I would think with the mandatory, I would think Belmont and Naira would make decisions early if they're planning any if they see the possibility and they're going to make any changes. I would expect them to make it fairly early.
Oh, yeah, I would hope so. They don't want to kick this thing off and have to take a race off the turf. That is for sure. And the stakes, the feature is race 8, the Chelsea Flower. And you would think, being that it's a stakes race, that's staying on. But hopefully it won't even get the point. But, you know, like I mentioned, there's potential for a little weather in the area. So, you know, as everybody knows back home, especially seeing Belmont this week with the with the weather they've had, you know, just kind of do your due diligence, your scratches, and don't leave any stone unturned in what's going to be a very big sequence.
All right, let's jump in. Fourth race today, 16,000 conditional claimers going 6 furlongs. Hit me with your thoughts, and then I'll jump in.
Yeah, my thoughts are it's not easy starting out, Seth. That's for sure. And, you know, there's a lot of gals in here with the old one fur, you know, and I don't like to see 21s and 18s and one for 15s and things like that. I would think you would admit, too, Seth, this is a group that's a pretty tough to trust. So I kind of went outside the box a little bit, and I'm going to give All Over the Map a look. She gets Joel Rosario. Ray Handel has had a great year, a breakthrough year, I think it's safe to say. There's speed here. She's run well on dirt before. She ran okay on turf last time against much better. And I think it's interesting. It's noteworthy that Joel Rosario jumps aboard here. And again, kind of a fresh new face in a race where, man, I don't really trust a lot of these. I've got La Negrita in second. I think she can pass some horses. If you get by the sloppy race last time, the second two back was really good. It was really fast for this group. But again, Seth, 1 for 16, 9 underneath finishes. That's tough to trust. She's a black belt. I've got her in third on the slight class drop. She would, you know, would be no surprise. I think Princess in Charge, you know, I didn't put in my top three, but I do think she's interesting. I don't really know what to make of her because Linda claimed this one from Robert Trask for 16,000 in January. And it's the old, where have you been since? She's not in for the tag. She kind of gets that waiver. If the money shows, you know, I Linda always moves him up off the claim. Now, obviously, they didn't claim this one for 16 to run her, wait, you know, 9 months to run her. But Linda's 23% off this long, long layoff. And there's a couple of decent works here. So it's sad that it's a tough race to kick this sequence off.
Yeah, we are not overlapping. Well, I guess we got a couple. You have two in your mix that are in my mix, but I went 5, 7, 9, and 2. I put Shannon's Girl on top. Just I thought the class relief, and you know, been on the turf recently, but dirt races are okay. I thought the class relief maybe a little bit of a wake up call for that one, the thinking is probably similar to what you said. You can't jump on anybody here with much confidence, so you're going a little bit out of the box there. So I'll put the Siaka horse on top. She's a black belt who you mentioned right underneath. Yeah, gets a little dose of class relief off a decent little effort at Pimlico last time. I use Charlotte Webley. Bolted up at Saratoga, that does not thrill me. But now it's had a little time off, and really the two races before that I thought were pretty good. I think given the maiden breaker at 25, probably fits okay at this 16 N2L. And if Jeremiah can kind of get the head screwed on correctly after what we saw last time. And they attract Irad Ortiz. So I thought with the early speed, Charlotte Webley might be an interesting player in here. And then, yeah, at the bottom of my mix, I did use Princess in Charge. I agree with everything you said. You look at it, there are things to like. You look at it, there are things not to like. But I think that kind of sums up this fourth race field. You get through this one, maybe you can feel a little bit better, because this is one of the tougher races, and it's certainly a tough start, but I have it 5, 7, 9, and 2. Fifth race.
Yeah, and I
go ahead.
Well, I just you're looking at a race where you might have like a 5-to-1 favorite or something. Yeah, like that. I mean, that kind of thing plays like 10-to-1 a lot of times in a sequence.
Absolutely. Fifth race, State Bred Maiden Special is going a mile. I'll kick things off. I like the 4 horse on top here, 4, 7, 1, and 2. Workout for Leah Giramati. Couple of second place finishes. Nice improvement start 1 to start 2 number-wise. And that number last time of the horses that have run is the one that kind of stands out. Jose Ortiz sticks on board. So that one seems like a logical way to tilt, certainly in this race. Brew Pub, Dane Kibiski brought this one up to Belmont last time, tried the turf. The dirt race 2-back, though, was okay, and Kibiski going turf to dirt has a pretty good stat. So I thought Brew Pub might be a little bit interesting as well. And then Mind Freak for Mike Maker. You're getting 10-1 on the morning line for a horse by Leia Ban, who's turning out to be okay as a win early sire. I pulled up the stats. These are maybe a week old or so, but 25 first-time starters this year. 7 of those have hit the money, so decent numbers for Leia Ban as a win early sire. And the Mike Maker runners can sometimes improve second time out, so I thought a little bit of a price Mind Freak was interesting. I have it 4, 7, 1, and 2.
Seth, I think you would agree when I say if there is one race in this sequence you can maybe have a good feel for and be aggressive, this is probably it. Because the 4 and the 7 or the 7 and the 4, they stand out. And I have it 7-4. I just swapped them only because Brewpub's drawn outside of Workout. And maybe Brewpub is a little more trustworthy than Workout. You know, Workout could maybe have to deal with a bounce off the big improvement last time, but either way, I just think they're a little better than what kind of looks like a pretty average group. The wild card to me is Pulpus for Jonathan Thomas, who lures Irad. They paid 70 for a Son of Orb. You know, that's a lot of money for a Orb Dancer 10. If the rains come, if the track's got some moisture to it, you know, that would bode well too. But I think at the end of the day, if you're only using Brewpub and Workout, Seth, I think you're supposed to feel pretty good and you're going to think you're alive. So we're kind of seeing it the same in this one, at least. And we'll go back to the turf in the 6th. It's 3 and up on the inner 30,000 2L at 1 mile and a 16th.
Should it go on the dirt, I have it 15, 8, 9, and 16. But assuming and hoping we stay on the turf, 12, 7, 4, and 3 for me. How about Reckless Spirit on top? Luis Saez on board. Hasn't been seen since Saratoga. And Jim Bond isn't as hot hair down at Belmont as he was up at Saratoga. But I thought this horse, a little half step of class relief this afternoon. Luis Saez sticking on board. And I just thought number-wise, as compared to the rest of this bunch, maybe in a good spot this afternoon. Shooting the Breeze, I think, has been facing similar in the last few starts. And the last couple aren't much. There are back numbers, though, that are okay. I'm hoping maybe we can rebound to those. I mean, the last two numbers are since the claim from Mike Maker, and maybe that's notable. But I'm just hoping now that they have a couple of races under the belt with this horse, maybe they can get back closer to some of those back numbers. Stanhope in the 3rd spot. Nice try last time against State Bred Allowance. Again, that's one of those angles that I like quite a bit. Moving out of the State Bred Allowance into the open claimer. That may be the one that is more attractive to me as we get closer to post time, because, again, I do like that. And Barley One is getting the 2nd shot at that angle. Ran 3rd last time, moving State Bred Allowance into claimer. So I have that one in my mix as well. I have a 12, 7, 4, and 3.
I don't know if I'm getting too outside the box, but what's the matter with Freedom and Whiskey? He's 12-1 on the morning line, which I don't really get. He takes the class relief, as you mentioned. He just was basically on the line with Stanhope last time. He's 12s on the morning line. 2 big, quote-unquote, big buyers for this group. And he drops him a State Bred 1X and a Starter 50. So, and he's drawn perfectly as well. I know he hasn't been bet in his last 2 starts. He's run pretty well. And there's no reason he can't fit with a group like this. So I'm going to put him on top at, I mean, he should be 6 or 8 to 1, I think. I don't know if you're going to see 12, but if he is, all the more appeal to him, because I think he's right with a group like this for 30. So I'm going to put him on top. I go right next door as well to the other class dropper from the Starter 50, Mitzrayim, who, you know, didn't really fire last time, but you look at that run 2 back at Saratoga at this distance, it was a really good 4th, and it probably wins this race. I mean, these are all the same, Seth. This is luck, this is trip, this is race flow. Because, you know, the winner's going to run the 74 buyer that it's going to take to win this, and basically all of them can. And then I've got Beachside is in the mix for Dave Donk. I think he's going to pass some horses. He ran pretty well last time. Reckless Spirit is the one to beat. I'm worried about that post, Seth.
Yeah.
With that dog leg and the like. So I'm going to use him, but I was kind of going elsewhere at looking for a little bit better value too. I've got it 1, 2, 8 in another brutal race.
Yeah. And Freedom and Whiskey, if folks printed up the PPs when I did, which it was a day or two ago. Chad Summers was showing no wins at the meet, but he did have a win on Friday, so maybe his barn is heating up a little bit. Who knows? So keep that in mind as well. Seventh race, little stakes action, appropriate for the season. The Pumpkin Pie, $80,000 up for grabs for the fillies and mares going 7 furlongs.
Yeah, I've got it 6-3-1. I like being outside with never enough time. She's kind of getting the old Bassett test here, but she's won 2 straight stakes out of town. She's done it 1 on the lead, 1 pressing. She'll be pressing today. Saez is aboard. He'll be aggressive early. Your guy Trombo calling the shots here. And, you know, as well as anybody, Mike doesn't chip them up if they can't play. So I think this is a calculated move. He's got to see what he's got here on Gal. That's 1, 2 straight stakes. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Alicio, who's definitely the horse to beat, who's going to be favored, who runs for the first time for Bill Mott, and he hasn't run since the crazy seismic win in December for Kieran in the slop. Now, we talked about the rain. If it comes midway through, that's going to move her way up. But I don't know what to make of her, Seth. You know, obviously something went amiss. There's no doubt about that. Where you been, Angle? She hasn't. It's been 11 months since Alicio's been out. And it's an aggressive move by Belmont, that's for sure, to run her here. And I think you have to use her. But I feel like there's going to be people standing alone with her, too. And I'm a little worried about that. I want to see one for the new barn. I'm going to put her in second. Brock's Beauty was close to never enough time last time, so you kind of have to like her. If you like one, you've got to like the other. The post is a little tricky, and maybe the flow is as well. I'm going to go 6-3-1, Seth, in a tough six-pack.
I put the 5 on top, but I have yours 3 right underneath, 5-3-1-6. I thought Gotham Gala. I went to the race 2 back. Now, it was over a sloppy seal track, and so may have benefited from that, but put in a pretty good number. And there are comparable numbers a little further down the page. Last time tossed in a little bit of a dud after showing some early speed in the Lady's Secret, and that worries me. But I also kind of like the cutback today. So I tilted towards Gotham Gala. I'm with you on Alicio. That would be a tough – I can see people doing it, particularly off that last number, but it'd be a tough – pull for me to single that one off a layoff of the better part of a year at this point. This is one that, yeah, could go either way. Win by a block or run third in a race that you realize, oh, they're getting ready for something else. But I think you clearly have to have it in the mix. Bronx Beauty in the 3rd spot off the last couple of starts, which, as you said, were quite good, and never enough time off the 2 wins. I may regret, never enough time. These races also with horses that are a little bit inconsistent, maybe have talent when they show up, and then some days not so much. Normally, I like to go with horses that have a little recency and a little consistency. That's never enough time, so I may regret putting that one down where I did. But I have it 5-3-1-6.
The 8th is the co-feature, and it's another toughie. The Chelsea Flower, the 2-year-old fillies. Mile and a 16th on the widener, and Seth, there's like 1 throw out and about 10 or 11 horses that all have a big, big chance. How'd you see it?
If it's on the dirt, 12-10-3, if that should happen. But again, on turf, 10-7-8-4. I put Love Struck on top. I thought the career debut was very good up at Saratoga. Had a little trouble, but still overcame that and won. Junior Alvarado on board. He sticks on board again today. So we'll look for the Belmont Godolphin runner to step it up in only career start number 2 and get a stakes win under the belt. Cal D in the 2nd spot. Debut on dirt up at Saratoga wasn't much, but then they stretched out and went on to the turf, and that was a nice front-end score and validated that subsequently in the Miss Grillo. So I think Cal D is going to be very good in here as well. Nice couple of workouts underneath coming into this. So she has to certainly be in the mix, and likely, I'm looking, she is the morning line favorite and likely to take the action when the betting starts. Fluffy Socks for Chad Brown off a couple of wins. The win in the Salina was really nice, I thought. And so this one could be very, very dangerous as well. I wonder if we'll get the 6-1. I mean, I always say bettors these days look at the numbers, look at the buyers. For one thing, the buyers, I look at them too, even if it's on turf, but the buyers on turf aren't as definitive as they are on dirt. But also, I just think this horse is coming in good form, and that win last time, you know, that I wouldn't shy away from this one if you're looking and seeing a couple other horses with buyers that are a little more attractive. I think Fluffy Socks is a solid player in here. 10, 7, 8, and 4 for me.
I've got it 4, 10, 2, and I'll start by saying I tried really hard to pick Love Struck. I wanted to because, you know, you kind of said a lot about her, and anytime Bill Mott wins her the first time,
yeah,
start. I think you really pick up and pay attention, or because
this was part of that little run right at the end of the Saratoga meet. He had a few firsters win, which was a little out of the norm for him, but he was on a little streak there right at the end of the Saratoga meet.
No, it's a good point. He got really going, and I like the patience they showed with her. I mentioned it earlier, though. Excuse me. The post is a little post is a little tricky for me, so I put her in second. I come back to Ingracia, who, you know, I thought she ran really big in the Jessamine for Chad at Keeneland because, you know, the winner that day, Aunt Pearl, is a major player in the Breeders' Cup Juno Phillies turf, and she got loose that day. And, you know, Ingracia was really up against it in terms of quo. And I thought she acquitted herself pretty nicely after, you know, it was a solid, if unspectacular, debut win at Saratoga. But she showed last time she could step up. This is definitely a class drop. The Jessamine was a darn good race. So I'm going to put her on top of the little better post than Love Struck, who I've gotten second and for all the reasons you mentioned. I think Oyster Box is pretty interesting, right? For Graham, a pretty fast number on debut, sprinting. And a daughter of Tappet out of a Dyna former mare doesn't really want anything to do with 6 furlongs. But she looked pretty darn good doing it. And now she steps up. She draws inside. She's bred to love this added ground and turn. And a Graham, another guy who's pretty patient. And I always think when they win on debut, you got to take notice. So I think Oyster Box is very, very interesting. I've got it 4-10 too. And, you know, I didn't play Caldi. I'm a little worried about the giving the ground for Caldi with maybe some other speed. But she's a major, major player off the second, as you said, in the Miss Grillo. Boy, Seth, this is a beast. If you hit this pick six today, you're going to have many beers at the bar, and you can buy a lot of them because it's not going to pay $690, that's for sure. It is as big balloons today, I think, Seth.
All right, we wrap it up in the ninth. State bred allowance runners going 6 furlongs.
11-8-4. I talked about Linda Rice earlier off the long layoff, and it's 23%, and Honey Money is facing winners, hasn't been out since May, but there's a couple. The last work on the 15th was heady stuff. Linda's not having a big meet, but this one looks like she's okay. And I don't know who's okay in this field, Seth. So the layoff worries me. I get it, but she really looked like she was going places in her last start. And certainly there was an issue or two. I understand that. But if she runs back to that win, that maiden special weight win, she's going to be heck to pay in here. So I'm going to put her on top. Flash Pack and Barbie is certainly, you know, she's got the recency edge on Honey Money, and she ran well at Saratoga a couple times. Probably like getting back to a fast main track. Keep that in mind because I didn't think she loved the slop last time. And then underneath, Banker's Daughter, you know, was really, really big second last time facing winners for the first time. And she won't have to improve that much. But I haven't put any numbers on paper yet, Seth, but I'm kind of leaning to singling Honey Money at the end here, which will allow for more coverage earlier for me. And then if, fingers crossed, I am alive at the end and it's just the funny, just to her, maybe I can, you know, have some savers, some backups and things like that. But I'm kind of right now singling Honey Money because I'm sure you've sussed this out yourself. You know, it adds up pretty quickly when you're talking about a pick six.
Yeah, absolutely. And I did not use Honey Money, but I had all the notes and check marks. I just was a little worried on the layout, but they paid $240,000 for this horse. The first two starts were very good. This is not the kind of field where a $250,000 horse with talent should have a problem. I was just concerned on the layoff, but again, maybe I will regret that. I have it 4, 7, 8, and 10. Banker's Daughter, I thought on the recency was the way I would go. Broke the maiden two back. And then at this first level, had a nice try. Impassable Donna, lightly raced. The numbers are going forward, so improving, and perhaps continuing to improve there. And Flashpack and Barbie, as you mentioned, in the mix as well. But I may regret leaving Honey Money out. I will not deny that. For me, 4, 7, 8, and 10. Brian, appreciate the thoughts, the conversation, and good luck this afternoon with the mandatory pay Empire play. And we will talk Thursday night with the Breeders' Cup seminar.
Super looking forward to that, Seth. Good luck to you. Good luck to everybody back home. And we will catch up Thursday night when it really gets serious.
Sounds good. Brian Addo with, again, a little look at this afternoon's Empire mandatory. And I'll just say to the guys in the control room, I think head right into the interview. Yes?
Yeah.
We have one more for the weekend, Gary Contessa interview. Again, Gary helping us out doing some Breeders' Cup-related interviews. And he talked the other day to Graham Motion. So we'll kind of wrap up the show. I'll come back and close it in a few minutes, but we'll wrap things up with Gary Contessa and Graham Motion.
Gary Contessa with Capital OTB, and I have the pleasure of being with Graham Motion today, talking Breeders' Cup. Graham, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, happy to do it.
First, tell us about, you have two fillies. I actually got to hear about their workouts. You know, obviously it was on the Racing Link and whatnot. But your two fillies, Invincible Gal and Alda, for the Juvenile Fillies Turf. Tell us about those two.
Yeah, so Alda, well, neither one of them has done much wrong, really. Alda was one of my first two-year-olds to break a maiden. She finished third, I believe, first time out at Belmont, came back and won nicely with Johnny. I was a little bit torn during Saratoga. There was a stake for her at Saratoga, or we could go out to Woodbine. The Woodbine race enabled her to run a little bit further, and I also thought it would set her up well for the Natalma. So that was the path I chose, was to go to Woodbine, and we ran a back-to-back in those two races. And I thought she ran really well, even though she was second in the Natalma. I thought it was still a really good effort.
Seasons, they come after big plans. Lady Spitespear, the outside, dreaming of Drew the Rail as they turn. Alder is finishing well down the outside. Big plans, kicks on in front. On the outside, Lady Spitespear, dreaming of Drew, flies up the rail. Alder down the outside, Lady Spitespear hit the front. Down the center of the track, Alder. It's Lady Spitespear from Alder. Alda coming, but Lady Spitespear in front. Lady Spitespear from Alda. And Lady Spitespear has gone on to win the Natalma by 3/4, Alda. 3 lengths to see.
We did too. I thought she ran very, very well. And tell us about the two, the Invincible Gal, and how do they augment each other?
Right, so Invincible Gal, I mean, she came out and won nicely first time out, had a great trip with Johnny again. We took her to Monmouth in her next start. She was actually supposed to run in the PG Johnson, I believe it is, at Saratoga, which came off the grass. So then we went to Plan B and ran her at Monmouth, where she finished second to a nice filly of Christoph's, and then ran second on Preakness Day in what has to be about the softest ground we ever run on in America. I thought she ran well that day. She kind of did all the hard work up close to the pace. It was a little bit awkward. She didn't really make the lead. Johnny couldn't really take her off the lead because he was down in the inside. So I thought she ran very bravely that day to be second again.
I do too. And I think, you know, the consensus is for the 6th of November at Keeneland, the ground is going to be a little soft.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be like it was most of October.
That's for sure. And so moving on, you have Mean Mary in the Filly and Mare Turf. Tell us about Mean Mary, and is she Mean Mary or is Mean Mary somebody else? Tell us about her attitude a little bit.
Yeah, she's really not that mean anymore. She used to be. She was a real project when we first had her as a two-year-old. She was very reluctant to train. Robbie Walsh, who's a steeplechase jockey who has galloped for me for a long time, he was the one that kind of got her back on path, but we had to take her the track always with the pony. I actually ended up just turning her out with Main Sequence, who's a retired Fair Hill, and I I ended up turning them out together all day just to try and get her back down and try and get her to settle down because she was so tricky. But having said that, since then, she's become much more straightforward. I have to be honest, she was a little bit of a surprise how impressive she was in her first couple of starts. We took her down to Gulfstream, and there really weren't a lot of options for her once we got down there going anything beyond a mile, mile and 16th. And I felt she wanted to go further, so we ended up taking a shot in the stake race, going, I want to say, a mile and 3/8, I think, first time down there, which she won. And then sort of she hasn't done anything wrong since. She's been so impressed. She's got this incredible high speed galloping that she gets into this rhythm, and really she's pretty tough once she gets into this pace scenario that she finds herself in these longer distance races. So she hasn't done much wrong since, really.
Good. Well, you're coming into the Breeders' Cup in good shape. The horses are all and doing well, and you're very pleased with the way they're moving forward towards the Breeders' Cup?
I am. You know, with Mean Mary, I opted not to run her in the last prep at Belmont. I just thought it was too close to the Breeders' Cup. She would have to run a big race a month out from the Breeders' Cup. I feel like she runs really hard every time she runs. She puts so much into it. And also, she's been going since December last year without really having a proper break. So I just felt that I needed to space her races out in order to get her the Breeders' Cup in the best shape possible. And knock on wood, she does seem to be doing well. She had a kind of a 5/8 of a mile breeze uphill at Fair Hill on the turf course this weekend with Schering. And I think all of them have handled their last works really good. They'll do something probably a little more straightforward this weekend. I think the last 2 weeks have been her most important sort of stamina breezes, if you like.
Tell our viewers, when would you like to see those horses, or what is your plan for having them arrive at Keeneland?
So I'm going to breeze them back on Saturday at Fair Hill on the synthetic. The 2 2-year-olds will breeze together, probably go 5/8 together. Mean Mary, I might breeze her with Schering again, go 5/8 or 3/4. That'll be on Saturday. Sunday, we'll just check them over, give them an easy day training, and put them on a van Monday morning to Keeneland, hopefully, if all goes well.
Beautiful. We're all looking forward to it. Now, I'd like to just go off track a little bit with you, Graham, because you've given me this opportunity, and it's something I've wanted to say for a long time. You are one of the very few horsemen in this country to really speak out about the welfare and the health of these horses. And I am so impressed by that. And I wish there were more Graham Motion speaking up. But tell us about your feelings about that, because I know they're so strong and so deeply rooted. And I don't think our viewers understand, you know, how much we love the horses and how much we care about their health and welfare.
Look, I think in racing in general, in the last 5-10 years, people have become much more aware of the fact that these racehorses, who give us so much, that they need to find an occupation when they're done racing. You know, most horses don't run much beyond 5 or 6, and there's a lot of time left for them to enjoy the rest of their lives. So I give my wife a lot of the credit. She's become so involved in rehoming horses, as has my secretary, Sue. It's just become a big priority of ours. We feel really strongly about it. Fortunately, we live in an area where it's very easy to place horses into other occupations. There's a lot of hunting around us, a lot of 3-day eventing, a lot of show jumping. So, you know, we're in a spot where it's quite easy to do, and it's something we really feel passionate about. And my wife has really taken it on. She's just started a new farm with Jamie Wyeth, Phyllis Wyeth's husband, where they've taken on 10 retirees. So she's really stepped up and put a lot into it.
Well, you guys should be commended for that. And it's a beautiful thing to have people like you in this game that do speak up for the horse and do look out for the horse. And I wish it was even more. I wish everybody was like that. But I know many, many people are like that. But you are at the forefront in my book. And we're really appreciative having a guy like you in that position.
Like I say, I do think the momentum's changed a lot. I think people are much more aware of it. And I think, you know, fortunately, we're in a place where we can do something about it, whereas a lot of people aren't at the racetrack. So, you know, these horses give us so much. That's the least we can do in return.
Absolutely. Well, on behalf of Capital OTB And Gary Contessa, we wish you all the best in the Breeders' Cup, and we can't thank you enough for coming on today.
Happy to do it. Thanks, Gary.
Take care, Graham.
Thanks to Gary, and thanks to Graham Motion for taking the time. And again, we have some more of those interviews coming up as we progress into the morning programming this coming week as well. All right, I'm going to wrap things up because they're underway with the pregame at Naira. Want to get you to that. Do want to alert you that tomorrow, 5-ish, 5:30-ish, Breeders' Cup draw will be here on the network, so you can check out and find out what races are selected for horses that were maybe cross-entered, but where they all end up in the gate. So again, we'll have that on the network for you tomorrow around dinner time. Again, 5:30-ish time for the Breeders' Cup draw tomorrow right here on the network. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrill. I'll be back in about an hour or so with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. Stay tuned. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.